is free. It brings us salvation. Grace is liberating. Grace is required in disagreements among people, particularly amongst us believers. Grace is for ministers, all of you who minister to somebody else. Grace is accepting of others. Grace is for intimate relationships with God and with others. Grace is for marriage. And this morning, I want you just to understand as I wrap this up that grace is seen up close and personal. Make it yours as I make it mine. I believe that the Father's goal for each one of us here this morning is that we grow spiritually and we mature wisely and we become more like His Son, who among so many other things was said of Jesus, He was full of grace and truth. As I think about God's amazing grace and His desire in my life to be a man of grace and all of us to be men and women of grace, I believe at least three things are involved in that kind of process. One, it takes time. You don't just become a person of grace overnight. Not even in a couple of months study, but it takes time. Frankly, learning anything important takes time. Becoming a model of grace takes years and often comes slowly, but God is in no hurry, and He wants us to become more like Himself, truly gracious. Second, it requires pain. I don't like that, do you? I've always remembered a statement in my reading, I don't remember exactly, I think it was A.W. Tozer, that said, "It is doubtful that God has ever used a man greatly until He's humbled him deeply." I don't like that. Everything in me fights that. I understand, though, Father, that that's what You want in me and that You want from us. And third, it means change. Being, can I say, graceless by nature? We find it difficult to be anything different. We lack it, we resist it, and we fail to demonstrate it, but oh, how we need it. Did you bring a Bible with you this morning? I hope you did, as always. By the way, when you walk in, we have a stack of Bibles always in the back there. You can grab one when you come in, or Jared, did you forget your Bible? Jared, grab a Bible. Oh, no, you can do what he's doing maybe and grab a Bible back there and follow along with me. I want to go to two passages with you this morning. First of all, to 1 Corinthians 15. Find that in your New Testament. 1 Corinthians 15. This, as you know, is Paul's first letter to his friends at Corinth. And it was a tough letter. If you have read this letter before, many of you have. You have discovered as you read it and study it that this was a very difficult time for Paul and this church. They were messing up so many different areas in, well, church life and growing spiritually that he had to write a lot of tough stuff in here. But he uses himself as a marvelous example of what we've been talking about these Sundays right here in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 3. Listen. "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Peter, and then the 12, and that He appeared to more than 500 brethren after that at one time, most of whom remain right now, but some have already died. And then He appeared to James, and then to all the apostles, and look at this, last of all, as to one untimely born, He appeared to me as well. For I am the least of the apostles, and not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." Now underscore this, "but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me. To be men and women full of grace and truth, and to pull that up personal and up close this morning to where we live and operate our lives, first of all, requires claiming the grace to be what I am. You are this morning who you are by God's grace. Claim it. The candid admission on Paul's part is so encouraging to me. After all, Paul, this is a spiritual giant. This is a man of God. This is a preacher and apostle and a missionary statesman. He looks back on his own previous track record here and in other books he wrote, letters he sent, and admits it wasn't good. In fact, it was downright ugly. It was nasty. It was discouraging. I'm embarrassed by it. After listing some of the other greats, you know, Peter, James, the rest of the apostles, he says, and last of all, there's me. And then there's me. He appeared even to me. To me. Paul sees himself not simply among the last, but among the least of the apostles, having been one who persecuted the church. While others that he mentions were trying so hard to build the church, allow the church to grow, he was doing everything he could to tear down the church, to destroy the church, to get rid of the church. Remember? That alone could have been something that was a number on this man's view of himself for good. He could have felt bad about that for almost ever, but Paul refused to be crippled by what sounds like feelings of insecurity and a past he was not proud of. But he refused to, and he makes it very clear why. It all comes down to grace. God's grace. Claiming to be what I am. Grace. The answer is always grace from Paul. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and by his grace toward me did not prove vain. The grace of God was with me. Grace made him what he was. Grace made him, gave him the courage he needed to be who he was before God. Grace energized him to accomplish what God wanted him to accomplish by realizing that he did not deserve it. He could never earn the privileges that were given this man named Paul. Paul was free to be exactly who he was and who God meant him to be. No matter what the past was, no matter what the story used to be, by grace, I am what I am. I find that so encouraging this morning, because if that was true for Paul, it's true for you and me. Everybody's got a story. We don't have time this morning, praise God, to hear all your stories. They're not all good. I know a few of you, and you know me. We have stories of our past and things we look back on, and maybe you feel just a little bit like Paul this morning, and it's not good. I did this and I did that, and then I look back and, oh, I don't even want to ever bring it up again. You know what? By grace, you are who you are. And by grace, you are this morning a child of God, and he loves you deeply and wants to use you so much. That's kind of looking back for Paul as he brought that up. You know, as I think back, I persecuted the church, and I feel bad about that. I'm sorry about that. But you need to know, as I stand here among all the greats around here, that I'm the least. And
And it's because I realize who I am. It's by grace that I am here, Paul said. I was doing everything I could to get rid of the church that God was forming. I hated it. I spoke evil against it. And then God met me in a dramatic way, and I'm telling you, I was born again, and it turned my life around, and it had nothing to do with me. It was all God's grace. That's what he said. That's his testimony. But I remember a time in his letter to the Romans in chapter 12 when Paul was addressing what the future looked like, and he said, now, through the grace, it's always grace. Through the grace given to me, I say to you, don't think more highly of yourselves than you ought to, but have sound judgment. Don't cherish any exaggerated feelings about who you are. Be real. Be yourself. It's okay to be Paul. It's okay to be you. Claiming the grace this week to be who you are. I see a second requirement, to live God's grace up close and personal in the next week, thinking about all the ways His grace has affected our lives as we've reviewed that. You know what? I want to live it this week, and I want you to see one more really important point, and it's in his second letter, which was so much more encouraging than the first letter. So you're not far from there if you're with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7 is another admission from Paul, who is quick to give God all the glory because of his grace. Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh. See that? A thorn in the flesh. Listen to this. He calls it a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Aha! There's a bigger plan there than I see when I am in pain, when I'm suffering. And you need to know there was this thorn in my flesh, and it just felt like it came from Satan himself, and it was there, it was night and day. I got sick of it, and he wanted to torment me through it. Concerning this, verse 8, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. God, take this away. God, take this away. God, take that away. And he said to me, underscore this, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Another struggle that we all face, along with a past that may not be good, it may be something embarrassing, is that we all live today with human weaknesses. We suffer, we hurt, we blow it, we feel bad. Medication doesn't cure it. Prayer never seems to completely eliminate it. Complaining doesn't help it. Our problem? Well, we're just too human. I am what I am. In Paul's case, he calls this a thorn in the flesh. Do you know what that was? We don't really know. There's no certainty. We'll ask him someday. But many scholars think it had to do with his eyes, because a couple of references in other books that he wrote, he talked about how his eyesight, and he had to read, it was tough. We don't really know. We'll learn. We'll find out. But this thorn, this pain was always with him. And when it returned, it never failed to leave him weak and feeling terribly human. How could he go on in spite of this suffering? Well, it was grace that made him content with weaknesses. Are we ever content with weaknesses? Why, we don't like weaknesses. We try hard to get rid of our weaknesses and make them strengths. I understand that. That's just the way we are. We aim for something different. But Paul learned that it's grace that can help him be content with suffering, with weaknesses. And not even insults and distress and persecution around him would sideline Paul once grace gave him contentment in weakness. What did he learn? My grace, God says, is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. And I tell you this morning that if it worked for the Apostle Paul, it will work for you and me. It will. Today, again. By not hiding or denying our weaknesses, others are made to feel, I think, closer to us. Vulnerability invites people in, helps them identify with and feel comfortable around us. Usually, when we are real like that, I mean real like that, people most often respond well. When we find contentment even in our weakest points, the anxiety vanishes, freeing us to be honest and real. One doesn't have to rely any longer on power trips and ego issues. Those things are grace killers. I want to be a man of grace, and you want to be a man and a woman of grace, then we have to claim the grace to learn from what I suffer. Believe me, I'm learning that with you. It's good for me and it's good for us. To be honest, we have nothing to hide here in this circle of friends to being fragile and imperfect in most all areas of our lives. Let's admit them. Grace will help us do so. The hymn that we started with and was referred to already this morning, Amazing Grace, said, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Not self-effort, not perfectionism. God, help those here this morning who are perfectionists, and God, please help those of us that live with them. Both need tons of grace. People do not identify with those who give the impression but nothing but flawless perfection and slick success at every turn. But we all tend to identify with those who fail, because we fail, and are imperfect and weak. And according to Paul, God honors that because he grows something strong in us when we feel that way and we learn from our weaknesses in a real small way. This was brought to light to me a few Sundays ago when I struggled all weekend long being sick. I had a migraine headache that made me ill. I just put my head against a pillow for hours and said, Kath, just take care of life out there for me. And she did. Thank you. Had to cancel a wedding rehearsal for the first time in all these years. I could not stand up. I was sick. We think from the medication, doc, for the silly thing called gout. It was a terrible weekend. I could not wear a shoe on this on the right here. And I did a wedding with socks in a field with a lingering headache. I was just not a happy camper, but I tried to act fine. And then Sunday morning, I stepped up here with socks on, and it gave it away. Something's weird. Something's wrong. I tried to act fine, but it was obvious I was not. I was in pain, and I couldn't control that, and I was troubled by that, and I was trying to act like I was great, and I wasn't. I couldn't wait to get home. and put that foot up, get that, even that sock off. But I learned something that Sunday, because I heard from a whole bunch of you who said, you're not the first to have gout. Hello? I get it a couple of times a year. Here's what I do for it. Here, yeah, it's, you can get through it. And I did. 2 weeks later, I'm feeling good. It probably will come again. It's a thorn in the flesh. It just might appear at any moment, but I know now what to do, what to take, what to drink quickly. And a few of you even said to me, that didn't bother us. You were more yourself. You spoke from your heart that morning, and I appreciated what you said. Thank you. It was a lesson for me. It was a good lesson for me. Claiming the grace to learn through what I suffer. Grace is in our weaknesses, enables us to become instruments of power in God's hand. And it's not about me. It's not about you. It's all about Him. He's my strength and in all my weaknesses, Paul said, and that enabled me to understand that that thorn was going to be with me, and I hated it, and I wanted it gone, but God used it for a purpose, and I got to know Him better, and I got closer to Him. That's what Paul said. We got to learn the same thing. Even Jesus Himself. It says in Hebrews, for the joy set before Him, endured the cross, went through the shame, accepted the beating and the spitting and the parading and the pain and the suffering of a Roman crucifixion. For what? For the joy set before Him. He got to be my substitute. That's grace. That's grace to you. Let me wrap up this series on Amazing Grace with words from two guys named James and Peter. Now, let's think about who they were. James. You know that little wonderful book about James? There's so many practical things in that book. James. We believe he was the half-brother of Jesus. You think about growing up in a family with Jesus as your brother. He does everything perfect. Sick of Him. Well, we kind of learned much of the family didn't even like Him. We have hints of that in the Scripture. But there came a day when his half-brother, James, recognized that this brother that always wins at marbles is God. Hard to believe, but He's God. And I accept that by faith. I want Him to be the Lord of my life. And talk about humility to accept that, to understand that. Then became, we believe, pastor of the First Baptist Church, well, First Church of Jerusalem. Big responsibility. James said in chapter 4, but He gives me a greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. James said that. He learned all about God's grace. Now, what about this other guy named Peter? Did he have a tough time with humility? Self-proclaimed leader of the band of brothers. Most usually the guy answering the questions when Jesus had a Bible study. Now, anybody know where? Yes, I do. Yes, Peter. Sometimes he was wrong and then he had to say he was sorry about that. He was a great man. Jesus called him the rock. I will build this church. You are a rock. This is going to need a lot of Peters like you. See the church get through the next few centuries together. I need Peter. I need Peter. Peter denied his Lord. It almost ruined his life. But it didn't. And he always came back in his letters to grace. Peter did. And he said in chapter 5, "You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you, clothe yourself with humility toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud. He gives grace to the humble." Like me, he was saying. My fellow struggler. Sounds like some kind of a speech. I don't mean it that way. My fellow struggler, is progress more painful than you ever imagined or expected? Thinking this would be some sort of spiritual Disneyland experience, only to find that the reality of your faith is weak more often than it's not, and that life sometimes becomes lonely and depressed and broken, join the crowd. You're my friend. You fit in well. Are you beginning to wonder if you're even on the right path? Trust me, you are. God is at work in you. His Spirit is in you. His love is with you. His amazing grace is available to you again this morning. For by grace we are saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works. Why? Lest you would boast. It's a gift. God's amazing grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Speaking of when we been there 10,000 years. Next Sunday, we're going to start a 5-Sunday series on heaven. What is it? Is it for real? We get to play harps and wear robes? What are we going to do? Where is it? Who gets there? Is heaven real? Is hell for real? Hope you'll be with us. Let's pray. Father, it's all your grace. It's all about you. It's not about me. It's not about us. Thanks for Paul. He learned that so well and so clearly, but it was got to be so tough for him Help me do the same. Help me learn the same. Claiming your grace, Father, to be who I am. Claiming the grace to be not so much what I used to be, but what I am today and what you want me to be. And claiming the grace to learn from what we suffer. To be more and more like you. In Jesus' name, amen.